D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you, joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet NHL Insider, presented by Old National Bank. Get old. Elliot, I'm going to ask you the question that you have been asked more than anything probably in your entire life. What are you hearing about the Nashville Predators as we approach the deadline a week from tomorrow?
Look, I think Barry is looking to see what's out there. I think there's a whole bunch of centers out there, Adam, guys like Braden Schenn at the high end, other players like Scott Laughton, Jake Evans, Yanni Gord, your guys, McCarron, Sissons. Some guys are rentals, some guys aren't. Teams kind of know what the possibilities are, what the prices are, who's going to cost what. And I think they're just waiting to figure out which one they want to go for and when they're ready to make their move. Like I said, I think there's a whole bunch of centers out there. I think you guys have a couple of them, and it just comes down to who decides to do what.
So we've discussed the possibility of Michael McCarron being traded. He comes relatively cheap at $900,000 per season through next season. We've talked about Colton Sissons a little bit, perhaps Barry Trotz testing the market on Colton Sissons, but we haven't seen his name on trade boards or anything like that. What do you think the market could be for a player like Colton Sissons?
Well, I think that Sissons is he's a respected player. Obviously he isn't like an absolute superstar or anything like that, but people respect his game, and he plays a playoff kind of game, and he's versatile. He can play in a couple different places. He can play wing. He can play center. He's got a little bit of term there. He's got one more year, and the salary doesn't hurt you. Like, the one thing about his contract is, even though his cap hit is about just under $3 million, his cash really goes down next year. So those kinds of deals, which are what we call cash under cap, those are deals that people really like. So I think there's interest in him out there. I don't think the price would be incredibly high in terms of what people – like, there's options out there right now. Like, that's the toughest thing for Nashville in this situation in terms of a return is there's a lot of players out there that are similar, and you can pick and choose based on the price that you want to pay. So I could see a situation where – Barry Trotz might say, you know what, for what we think of Sissons, it might not be worth what we could get in return, and we just keep him. So I think that's one of the biggest challenges he will face, is that there's a lot of players out there who are somewhat similar, and the price, therefore, might not be very high.
As you're putting together your big board of centers who could be available at the trade deadline, you had the report last month about Ryan O'Reilly and that the Predators are going to treat Ryan O'Reilly as if though he has trade protection in his contract, although he does not have trade protection in his contract. Where would you slot Ryan O'Reilly on your big board in terms of desirable centers around the league?
Well, I think people would love to have him. I would be shocked, Adam. I mean, I would be really surprised unless something has really changed that I don't know about. I don't believe he wants to be traded, and I don't like O'Reilly has huge respect around the league. If he was really available, I think there would be a lot of teams that would be interested. But what's interesting to me is you'd have to convince me that it was a situation he wanted to go to. I do think that if he wanted to go somewhere, somebody would probably say, okay, what's it going to take? And we'll work about getting it done. Like, that's how high I think he's thought of. But you would have to convince me first, Adam, that there's somewhere he wants to go.
Now, Elliot, with that being said, Barry did, he was on with Jared. He did mention that, hey, listen, because Jared asked him about some of these guys that have no movement clause within their contract. And Barry said, yeah, basically, yeah, he would, you know, go to a guy that had that in their contract and ask if he would waive it in this situation. And based upon your history at covering teams and situations like this, how many times does that truly work out where a guy waives his clause, there's not anything out there that the team wants, and then he comes back to that team that asks him to waive that clause? Does that typically work out for that player after that, if he remains with the team?
Usually what will happen, Derek, is you usually get situations where guys only are asked to do that in one of two situations. Mm-hmm. One is a team comes with a huge offer. And because what a lot of teams will say is, I'm not going to this guy unless you give me a reason. Mm-hmm. So if you actually give them a reason, they'll come there and they'll say, okay, we just got a trade we might actually want to make. How would you feel about it? And oftentimes they'll go to the agent first. And sometimes the player might say, okay. Other times the player might say, no chance. And in that situation, you can kind of smooth it over a bit by saying, look, we only came to you because we got an unbelievable offer. Now, I will say this, Derek, you know players. Some of them get their back up about these kinds of things. Others, they handle it really well. The second case is when things are going really badly. And they say to them, if you don't, like, this is what happened with Jacob Trouba and the Rangers this year. You know, his play unfortunately fell. The Rangers were really unhappy with him. And they warned him that things were going to get worse if he didn't accept a trade somewhere. And eventually he agreed to go to the Ducks. So that is a more serious case. And in that situation, it's almost impossible to repair the relationship. But things have to be going really badly between a player and a team for it to get there. Like that situation in New York this year, that was like poison. That's how bad that was.
Elliot Friedman is with us. So along those lines, Elliot, Barry Trotz made public on Tuesday with his weekly second fiddle report that, you're the first fiddle. Trotsky would be the second fiddle. We should do a meme with you and Trotsky playing violins.
Banjos.
Yeah, at the Grand Ole Opry or something like that. Yeah. But he said he went to some of the top veterans and said, here's my plan. Are you in? And if you're not, just let me know and we can try to do something about that. Yeah. Have you heard a GM use that tactic before? What did you think of that strategy?
Well, I have heard of it happening before. And I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. And I'm sure that he probably went to the agents first. Or at least they were probably aware of it. Like, I don't think Trotz is like a... I don't think Barry Trotz is a guy that's like a deceitful guy or a bad guy or anything like that. I think in that kind of a situation, he's simply trying to get a hold on, what everybody thinks. Because the way everybody signed last summer and the way where we are this year, it's very different, unfortunately, for the Predators. And, the last thing you want is you don't want players coming out and saying, this is not what I signed up for, because then it creates the impression that you're not communicating with them or they're not all in. So I don't have any problem with what he did there. I think it's probably a very smart play. As far as I know right now, I don't think anybody has said I'm not on board with this. And I think the key thing is here, and you guys are much closer to this, especially you, Willie, I don't think the Predators are interested in a teardown or a long rebuild. I think their goal is to come right back, fix whatever ails them, and go for it and compete again next year. And I think as long as that's the case, I think that their guys are probably going to buy into that. Players want to win. And I absolutely think that that's the Predators. Like, do you guys have any reason to believe the Predators as an organization are thinking any differently?
No, I don't think there's any reason. The question would be, how will they pull it off, and especially the way that they have sunk. And along those lines, Elliot, I wonder what's going to happen in the next 25 games because, here they just lost Roman Josi. Here come the Jets tonight. It's getting tougher for them to maybe see the light at the end of the tunnel, whereas maybe a month ago, I think Andrew Burnett was seeing some signs of life, right? They started to win some games. They were starting to get some production from the top guys. And with that in mind, I'm wondering what's going through the mind of a Steven Stamkos right now. He probably can't remember the last time he had a team that was out of it before March, and now he's gone 10 straight games without a point, which is also uncharted territory for him. So trying to keep his morale up and people on those lines, to me, that's a big story. So you know Stamkos a little bit. You've known him for a long time. What do you think is going through his mind?
Well, I think this whole year has been a complete roller coaster for him. there's a lot of players. I did this a few years ago, and I should probably update it. But Willie, I did a piece a few years ago, just looking at just pure production of players in the first year after free agency. Like when they make big moves in free agency, and it's a little bit subjective, but there's some math to it. And you'd be amazed at how many players really struggle. And so it's not anything anyone's going to like to hear or want to hear, but with a big picture look at it, maybe it shouldn't be as big a surprise that this happened. Now, Steven Stamkos picked Nashville for a reason. And as far as I know, I have no reason to believe at this time he's changed his opinion about that in any way, shape, or form. He always takes good care of himself. He's still a very competitive guy. I would think right now his pure thought is, how can I prepare myself this summer so this doesn't happen again? Now, I think the one thing that, to be honest, I wouldn't be surprised if Trotz maybe has Novak out there too as a centerman, seeing what the interest is for him, considering a year ago at this time there was interest that they didn't keep him. To me, that's still Barry's big question, is what's he going to do down the middle? And sometimes in the off season, you have a better chance of figuring that out.
Mm. We've asked you periodically throughout the season about the Ryan Johansson grievance. I think there was finally some movement on that. Or do you get a sense?
That was heard this week.
So do you get a sense of how long it'll be before you hear the verdict on this? With the trade deadline looming, it's probably pretty significant.
I have not heard. I have not heard when it'll be. But when you have a hearing, it's close. So I should check actually, because I can't remember if there's a deadline for after an arbitration is heard. I can't remember if there's a deadline for when a decision has to be rendered. Let's see if I can do two things at once and Google that while I'm talking to you.
Okay. Multitasking. We all try to do that. In the meantime, let's discuss another center that you mentioned, because I would think that every team that's looking at centers would at least kick the can and do their research. But give me your thoughts on Casey Mittelstadt, why he's maybe dipped from last year to this year, and why the Avalanche might be looking to move on. And do you think that could be a guy that might be an upgrade from a Novak or the centers that the Predators currently have?
I think he is available. Colorado, I think, has been a bit disappointed with him. Like, I think Casey Mittelstadt's a really talented guy, and Colorado had big hope for him. It's an interesting one. I would have to say that, guys. But they really wanted him to be, like, the number two center behind McKinnon. And they've been hurt a little bit. Like, Nichushkin was back for their game last night from injury, and they just look like a much different team when he's playing. Before, they were basically a one-line team. Like, McKinnon, Lekkonen, and Natchez were doing everything, and the other three lines were giving them nothing. And last night with Nichushkin, he had, I think, five shots. They're just a different team with him, and he makes them better. But I know they've been disappointed with him a little bit, and they were hoping he could pick up more of an offensive slack than he has.
So with that in mind, I'm intrigued because he's only 26, and he's got 2 years left at a reasonable price. So if you had to sort of start the gauge of what would be the market for him? Are you starting with the first-round pick? Would you have to throw in a player? Certainly the Avalanche aren't trying to downgrade their current talent pool, right? They're trying to win, so you probably have to offer them somebody that could replace him.
Yes, or I actually find sometimes it depends on what does Colorado want. Like, do they want another player or do they want a clear cap room? That's what it usually comes down to in that situation. You would expect that they would try to get the best young player or prospect that they can, or maybe it's a change of scenery deal. Like, maybe they traded a really good player to get him, Bowen Byram. And so you're not getting that, I don't think, but you're not just throwing this guy away. So I can see Colorado saying, look, like, he's still a guy we have hopes for. We would like a similarly impactful player. And so they'd probably ask you for somebody who was similar. Like, in my head, you know, like, in my head, it makes sense. I stress this is purely in my head. In my head, it makes sense, like a Novak for kind of Mittelstadt deal, but I think it would have to be more than that from the Predators.
Elliot, before we let you go, I know you're a busy man at this time of the year. The Mikko Rantanen situation seems to be looming large over this trade deadline. You had a report over the weekend that the Hurricanes made an offer into the nine digits. But Rantanen still needs some time to process the sudden change after the trade from Colorado to Carolina. Of course, Carolina may not have that luxury. What is your read on this situation as of now?
I think they're waiting for him to give them some kind of indication. I the one thing you have to look at too, Adam, is he really hasn't been in Raleigh since they've got traded.
True.
They've played some games, but they also had the time away from the Four Nations. After the Four Nations, they were on a road trip. You know, they're back in there tonight, and they're wearing the old Whalers uniforms, which actually look fantastic.
I wonder what the Hurricanes fans think of that, too. It's like, those are really cool uniforms, but if you're a Hurricanes fan, aren't you like, what do we have to do with Hartford? Like, they get it, but that's always been an interesting one to me.
At the beginning I wasn't sure, but then the way I saw them looked, the way they looked, I really liked it. I think fans like cool stuff. I honestly do.
Yes.
So, and if they look terrible, they'd probably hate them, but they actually look really cool.
Yeah. We do get that here, the Houston Oilers. Of course, it's the same ownership family, so it makes a little bit more of a connection, and Derek did wear the Tennessee Oiler / Houston Oiler uniform, and they will pull those out every now and then.
The baby blues?
Yes.
I love those. Oh, those were beautiful uniforms. Every time I see those things, I think of Earl Campbell running with his shirt off. Like, I just,
yeah, the ripped jersey.
It brings back such great memories of that guy. But I just think the question for me is, if he doesn't give them an indication by next Friday, what do they do? I think that's the biggest question of all.
Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL Insider, brought to you by Old National Bank. Get old, Elliot. Great stuff as always. We'll talk to you next week, one day out from the NHL trade deadline.
All right, guys, take care.
Elliot Friedman joining us on the program. 615-737-1025. Quickly, one piece of NFL news to pass along. According to Adam Schefter, the Chiefs have informed Trey Smith that he will be franchise tagged. That according to Adam Schefter. The Chiefs have informed Pro Bowl guard Trey Smith that he will be franchise tagged. But coming up next, we will react to what Elliot had to say. We're also going to give Willie Donick an opportunity to respond to Joe Rexroad. We'll do that next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, the game.